the great invitation. In a very memorable scene from the classic movie Lawrence of Arabia, Lawrence and his Bedouin guide, they stagger out into the desert. Out of it, they're coming back in, and they're bringing critical news back to the British headquarters. Caked with sand and with their skin cracking from parched dryness, they make their way into the ultra-popular officer's bar and demand something to drink. Now, while the shocked and outraged British officers stand around, the two of them guzzle down huge glasses of lemonade without a pause. Some of y'all might have ever seen that movie. Some of y'all might have not any idea. But think about a time whenever you were hot and tired and thirsty. I can use another analogy this day. And those of you who grew up on a farm, burning tobacco or truck farming, as my family did, which was produce, and we did tobacco, I'm sure that you can recall how good that morning break was when you were able to have that Coca-Cola or that Pepsi and that Nab and that Moon Pie, whatever it might have been, whatever that break might have been. You couldn't wait till that time of day because that was something you had been up because somebody had got you up before the sun even got up. And they made you take out a barn of tobacco and it was dry and it's nasty and you're hot and you're tired and you're cranky and you're a kid and you're not behaving well. And you do all that and you get that put in the pack house. Then somebody, like Grandma, has cooked breakfast so you can all go eat. Then you got to get out there in a field that's, the sun's still not up, people. And it's wet and it's green and you're waiting for everybody else, and it's some adults and a bunch of young, and it's usually a bunch of children and teenagers, and that was who we were. And that's a hot day. It's a wet day. It's a dirty day. And we have a cooler of water, and that was a great thing, but I tell you, that 10 o'clock time, couldn't get there quick enough. It was always that time that you were like, oh, thank the Lord. That's what it is when you're so thirsty and you're so aggravated and you say, wow, refreshment. Something good is coming. You know that it's a time of refreshment. It's a time of renewal. Today, this passage from the prophet Isaiah hits with a similar impact. Everyone who thirsts comes to the waters. Verse 1 says that everyone who thirsts will come to the water. The passage opens in the imperative. If you are thirsty, it says, come to the waters of God. If you are hungry, come and experience that which is free. The only prerequisite here is that spiritual hunger and thirst. People were spiritually hungry and thirsty, not only then, but today. The prophet Isaiah parallels Jesus' later invitation to a wedding feast that we find in Matthew's Gospel, the 22nd chapter. In Matthew's account, a king has prepared a huge wedding banquet for his son, and he has sent his servants out to inquire of those who have been invited to tell them to come in. And of course, people had excuse after excuse not to come to the wedding feast. It reminds me of people on Sunday morning, not you all because you're here, but those people, they'll say, well, you know, I just don't feel good. I'm tired. I believe I'll just stay here a little while longer. I think I'll sleep a little longer, or oh, well, something's not right. You know, I don't like the preacher. She doesn't preach right. She talks too long or she don't talk enough. Or I don't like that person sitting over yonder. They bother me. They get on my nerves. They irritate me. I'm not going because I can't be comfortable. It's an excuse. It's an excuse that you don't come. And it was an excuse that day at that banquet. And the king was upset. The people had been invited. They knew that the wedding was coming. They knew that they were supposed to be there. And he got one pitiful excuse after another, and he got angry. He was very angry, and he didn't like it at all. He sent troops out to destroy all who, when they came to the wedding banquet, they were gone. There was nobody there. He sent them out and destroyed them. And then after that, he sent those servants back out to the highways and byways further out. And he said to them, he said, bring everybody in. I want everybody here. I want everybody to be invited to come to this banquet, to come and eat, to come and see, to come and be filled with what it is that is happening here today. I want you to come. I want them to come. And that day, and they did, and everyone come, and the banquet hall was full. It was bursting at the seams. The place was just waiting for everything to happen. And when the king entered and he saw everyone ready for the great wedding banquet, he noticed one person, one man, who did not have on his wedding robe. And the king asked him how he got in without his wedding robe. And the man was speechless. He didn't know what to say. And once again, the king had his servants to bind that man, his hands and his feet, and to throw him out into the outer darkness. And he says in Matthew's gospel, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he says, for many are called, but few are chosen. You see, this parable speaks of spiritual hunger and thirst and how we all tend to brush it off. How we all tend to look the other way, or we say something else, or we're not quite ready. We are not prepared, and I'm not sure how many of us would make it to the banquet feast. I'm not sure how many of us would not be tossed out into the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not sure how many of us would make it, not only then, but today. You see, every day we have that opportunity. Every day we have that opportunity to put on that wedding robe, that robe of righteousness, to go out. But we don't always choose that. We choose to be just who we are. And we don't care about others in the meanwhile. Many, many years ago, when Mother Teresa made a visit to America, she said, I have never seen a land so hungry. I have never seen a land so hungry. And this is a woman who come from a place in India that people were dying and starving all the time. But she never saw a group of people so hungry, a land, because what? It wasn't that it was their spiritual that she was looking at. Isaiah today in this lesson challenges you and I to look a little bit. Let's look at verse 2 and ask ourselves, why do we spend our money for that which is not bread? And why do we labor for that which does not satisfy? Then Isaiah says, listen to me carefully and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Why do we spend our time seeking pleasure and fulfillment away from godly things? We do it all the time. Why do we do it? We spend more time with things than we do with people. We spend more time with things than we do with people. I saw something yesterday a friend of mine sent me. And she said her daughter, they were on their way to her daughter's birthday party. And her daughter is autistic. And I think Anne is 12 years old now. And she said, I looked back in the back seat and I said, Anne, where's your phone? She said, I left it at home because I'm going to spend time with my friends. I don't need it. And I thought, wow, I'm going to spend time with my friends. I don't need my phone. How many of us put our phones away? How many of us put them away and listen to the people that are around us? I know sometimes we like to share things. We tell people, we talk, we show them what's on there. We show them what someone has done. And that's fine. But I'm talking about all the time when you're in a group of people that you're sitting over there doing something else. And you're not attentive to those around you. You see, we spend more time seeking happiness in earthly things than seeking a relationship with God. In a time of spiritual starvation in this world that we live, the Word of God rings forth with a challenge to come and seek, call upon. It is the language of repentance that it says, come and seek, come and see. Seek, call upon the name of the Lord. It is not God who has abandoned us, oh no, but it is us, we, who have abandoned God. We've left Him. We are to return to the Lord so that the offer of pardon and mercy can be enacted, so that God can enact it within us. Within this clear challenge to change, the passage today from Isaiah does not scold us or berate us. It does what? It invites us. Verse 3 invites us. It says, incline your ear to come to me. Listen, he says, so that you may live. Incline your ear Tune yourself into me, says Isaiah to God's word here. Incline your ear to me. Come and listen so that you may live. The prophet Isaiah speaks to a people who have experienced a visitation of calamity. Everything's happened. With the nation in ruins all around them in that time, Isaiah offers the good news. Isaiah offers good news to the people. God still offers covenant relationship, he's telling him. God's offer of love is still given. In verse 3b, the last part of that, I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. God will abundantly pardon. God will abundantly pardon us. Amid the chaos and the hectic pace of modern life, God offers the gospel message, the good news. Disaster or tragedy does not mean that God has abandoned you and I. Oh no, God has not abandoned us. The offer of covenant grace is still available. God desires, God longs for a relationship with us, with you and with me. The divine offer is made without a price. The only requirement is hunger and thirst. We have to be hungry. We have to want to seek. We have to want to know. We have to be thirsty to come in and say, I need, I want. I've got to have this a little bit better. We've got to be willing to bow our heads. We've got to be willing to, if we can, get on our knees, to get on our knees and pray. To sit down, to take a moment, and to come before the throne of grace. The action needed on our part today is the willingness to seek God. Implicit today in this text is the unspoken thought that the choice is ours. It's ours. The words here, we can put it out there, but it's our choice to make. It's what we do with it. Out of this good news comes the vocation of witnessing. Something that scares people to death when you say, we're going to go witness. Or you are a witness. But you know what? Witnessing is not hard. How you live your life. You're a witness every day and you don't even know it. Some of you are better than others. Some of us are better some days than others. We all are. You see, it says we are all witnesses. I made him a witness to the peoples, it tells us in verse 4a. I made him a witness. We are called to witness. We are called to tell the story. The good news of God's grace is offered to the nations that do not know you, that do not know him, that do not know about what's going on. And you know what? That nation is fast becoming us. That nation is very fast becoming the United States of America that does not know Him. That does not know Him. And we have failed ourselves. We go and tell others, but we have forgot to tell our own story to our own people. And we're losing it. You see, those who have come in from the desert are to carry water back to those who hunger and thirst. We all come in, we all are filled up. And when we go out from this place, what are we taking? What are we doing with what God has given us? What are we doing? The four things that our lesson today tells us, and hopefully as logically proceeds, is the human condition of spiritual hunger, the invitation to seek God, the good news of covenant love, because He's made a covenant with you and with me. And the last is the call to witness. So those are what I leave with you today. Our spiritual condition is what? Spiritual hunger. An invitation God sends to come. Come and see. Come and seek. Come and find. Come and be a part of. Come and be filled. The good news of covenant love is I've made that covenant with you, God says. And the call is to go from this place and share that witness. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this day. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and blessing us. We thank you, Lord, that you are always about your business. And that you teach us and you tell us and you share that with us. And some days we do an amazing job and other days we fail miserably. But Lord, you have called not just one, but you've called us all as your children to be there, to go forth, to share that message each and every day. So, Lord, this day, allow us to take that light into all the world. allow us to lead on, O King Eternal. Amen.